Praise the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the third chapter of the book of Philippians and follow along as we begin with the reading of the Word. Philippians 3, beginning at verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Life's different now. For a people ransomed, rescued, restored, reborn, renewed, redeemed. Those pulled from the clutches of sin and death. Those once lost, but now found. It's the work of Jesus Christ. The sinless life he lived on this earth. The sacrificial lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, born to pay for our sins, a debt we could never pay on our own, destined to hang on a cross, be buried in a tomb, that he might rise from the grave on the third day, having conquered sin and death. It's because of this that we can know reconciliation. Reconciliation with the Father. Reconciliation with God, the Creator of all things. The very words of Jesus, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No other way, no other truth, no other life. Romans chapter 5, verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. This is the message of the gospel, the good news, the hope for all humanity. Colossians 1, beginning at verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Such beautiful verses. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning of verse 18, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. There is now a pressing. The Bible likens Christianity to a race, the race of a lifetime. A lifetime race. And the race has begun. For those saved, for those who have exited the blocks of salvation, the starting line behind and the finish line ahead. And these words resound within, run in such a way that you may obtain it. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 26. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. The J.B. Phillips New Testament reads, you ought to run with your minds fixed on winning the prize. Every competitor in athletic events goes into serious training. Athletes will take tremendous pains for a fading crown of leaves. But our contest is for an eternal crown that will never fade. I run the race then with determination. With this knowledge, with this understanding based on this text, fill in the blank. I run this race then with there is to be a pressing. To run as one should, we must establish something. Settle it in our minds. Settle it in our hearts. Settle it in our souls. We are talking about a concrete decision in the Spirit. All for Christ. Back to the text. Philippians 3, beginning at verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. What language is this? Things that were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. You know, the Apostle Paul was all for Christ. Settled in the mind, in the heart, in the soul, a concrete decision in the Spirit. One who had exited the blocks of salvation. And now there was to be a pressing. Run in such a manner. Run in such a way. Reading from the Amplified, yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. For his sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may win and gain Christ, the Anointed One, and that I may actually be found and known as in Him. This is what it means. And this is what it looks like to run in right manner. Are we willing to count things lost for Christ? The knowledge of Christ. For the knowledge of Christ, that we might gain Christ and be those that are found in Him, actually known as those that are in Him. You see, for the Christian runner, there's no place for the old gains. There's no space for the rubbish, the old drags, because there's enough of it on the track. Dogs, evil workers, mutilation, there's enough trouble on the track. All for Christ. And beware. You see, we must keep our wits about us. And we must keep our eyes. We have to focus. We must remain undistracted. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, I mean, don't you wish you could see them? You might pick up the pace. You might take the new stride. If you could hear them cheering you on, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. A Christian runner, a pilgrim racer. It's the image of one that is pressing forward, pressing onward, pressing for something, pressing towards something, pressing toward the goal. Philippians 3, 12 to 16, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, brothers and sisters, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Forward focus. Onward focus. Forgetting the things behind. Ah, there's a reason the windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror. Surely we long to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us. Things ahead, the things that lie ahead that He desires for us and has for us. The Amplified Bible, one thing I do, it's my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize, to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. And if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have already attained and walk and order our lives by that. What a line. Straining forward to what lies ahead, I press. Can't you see it? It means to flee, to make to run or flee, to run swiftly in order to catch a person or thing, to run after, to press on, figuratively of one who in a race runs swiftly to reach the goal, to pursue in a hostile manner, to seek after eagerly, earnestly endeavor to acquire. That's the nature of the text. And what of strain and weariness as we run this race? Well, I quote, "Disciplined runners consistently clear their heads and focus fully on the journey ahead because their passion and zeal for the goal supersedes the strain. The goal beckons them onward. Passion doesn't negate weariness. It just resolves to press beyond it." I see it so clearly. It's the picture of one who is running home. And the ground covered is life. Every one of us, we're all on our way to our eternal home. There's only two options. Billy Graham said, "Becoming a Christian is the work of a moment. Being a Christian is the work of a lifetime." We are but aliens here. We are pilgrims. We are visitors. Our true citizenship, it's not on the front of our earthly passport. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 2, beginning of verse 17, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Listen, it would be marvelous if he came in our lifetime. And yet, should he tarry, we must run. We must press toward the goal. We are running for heaven. We are running to heaven. That's where we are headed. The Amplified, "We are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven." J.B. Phillips' New Testament, let me be your example here, my brothers. Let my example be the standard by which you can tell who are the genuine Christians among those about you. Incredible. For there are many of whom I have told you before and tell you again now, even with tears, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. These men are heading for utter destruction. Their God is their own appetite. Their pride is in what they should be ashamed of. And this world is the limit of their horizon. But we are citizens of heaven. Our outlook goes beyond this world. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm getting homesick. As each day comes and goes, the longing for the homeland increasing. And that's the way it should be. That should be the drive and the motivation of our living. We've exited the blocks of salvation. There's now a pressing. Take up the pilgrim song and sing it always. The things eternal I pursue, and happiness beyond the view of those who basely pant for things by nature felt and seen, their honors, wealth, and pleasures mean, I neither have nor want. Nothing on earth I call my own, a stranger to the world unknown. I all their goods despise. I trample on their whole delight and seek a country out of sight, a country in the skies. Run in such a manner, and the manner's laid out. It's right there in the text. This is what it looks like to run in right manner. Christian racer. Hear these words, we trade with heaven. I hope too, not only thus by meditation and by thought and by song, but by hopes and by loves. Our love is toward that land. How heartily the Germans sing of the dear old fatherland, but they cannot, with all their Germanic patriotism, they cannot beat the genial glow of the Briton's heart when he thinks of his fatherland too. The Scotchman too, wherever he may be, remembers the land of brown heath and shaggy wood. And the Irishman too, let him be where he will, still he thinks the Emerald Isle, the first gem of the sea. It is right that the patriot should love his country. Does not our love fervently flame towards heaven? We think we cannot speak well enough of it, and indeed here we are correct, for no exaggeration is possible. When we talk of that land of Eshcol, our mouths are watering to taste its clusters. Already, like David, we thirst to drink of the well that is within the gate. And we hunger after the good corn of the land. Our ears are wanting to have done with the discords of earth that they may open to the harmonies of heaven. And our tongues are longing to sing the melodious sonnets sung by flaming ones above. Yes, we do love heaven, and thus it is that we prove that our commerce is with that better land. Let's have the worship team return today. Do you know Jesus? Is your citizenship in heaven? You see, the reality is not all of us will meet in glory. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So true. Trust Christ, sinner, and heaven is thine and mine, and we are safe forever. Amen. It's your day in the blocks. The blocks of salvation. Will you come out of the blocks and run the race? Will you press toward the goal? Will you leave those things behind that should be left behind? And will you run for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ? Will you live for Him? Will you love for Him? Will you run as He would have you run? The pace and the stride, the attitude, the demeanor, the passion. Listen, there will be strain, there will be weariness. But we resolve to press beyond it. Let's press on. Pressing toward the goal, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord, Jesus Christ. You know, we long for His coming, and He is coming soon, yet should He tarry and our race on earth come to a close, we will cross the line into heaven, our commonwealth, our homeland. Trade with heaven now. Perhaps a foreign concept. Trade with heaven. We get to sing now. We get to seek now. This is our joy, trading with heaven. Mouths watering, mouths thirsting, the hunger. Oh, the harmonies of heaven. Join in the song. And yes, as we run, prove that commerce is with that better land. Count it as loss. Are there things needing to be counted as loss? You know the old drag me downs? Perhaps there isn't much focus on what lies ahead because you got a rear view mirror in front of you and that's all you're staring through. It's bigger than the windshield. You're so focused on the past. Living in the past. Oftentimes, if you continue to live in the past lives in you. Pressing forward. If we were honest today and we said, Lord, here's my pace. Here's my time. Come on, hand him the stopwatch. Here's how I'm doing, God. You know my stride? Would He even now say, well done, good and faithful servant. Keep running. Keep it up. Or would He take you aside and say, son, daughter, my beloved, listen. You know what you're running for? You know what's at stake here in this life? You're running to your homeland. And the track is the journey of life. There's only so many days on the track. It's not for you to know when your time ends. I suggest you pick up the pace. And I say this to you because I love you and I care about you. And I prepared a place for you in my presence for all eternity. You see, God is concerned. And you say, well, why do we hear messages like this? Why is it about pressing? And because God speaks. And he wants those that are true, genuine believers to continue to run in such manner. They need the encouragement. They need to hear it time and time again. And he wants those that are not genuine and are running in a wrong manner to hear the word of the Lord, that they might come out of the stupor and they might begin to run in right manner. That's the heart of God. And so he continues to speak. I don't want to go and just gather to myself or to myself words, encouragement that allows me to run in a slack manner and think I'm doing all right. God is the judge. The book is the judge, not some preacher. You know, you got your stopwatch, you think you're doing okay with the pace, and you go to one preacher and he's like, you're not doing so hot. And so you just find another preacher, and that preacher's like, you're doing great. Just keep it up. Just keep running like you're running. No need to concern yourself. Don't pick up the pace. Guys, this is serious. It's more serious than we think. And you know what? I've thought of it often. Those that have gone before me, those that lived a holy and righteous life, I can't help but think they're up there going, if I could just yell into the scenario, if I could just speak, if I could have one more moment with a Christian racer, with a pilgrim runner, if I could just speak and say, come on, you don't know. You don't know what's at stake. You got to pick up the pace. You got to get more serious. Well, it's time for running. Pressing. No uncertainty. No excuses. Why no excuses? I'll tell you why. Excuses are the cradles Satan rocks men off to sleep in. And you say, that's not true. It's absolutely true. No more excuses. I press toward the goal. Let's stand in the house today. Lord, help us. Lord, help all of us. Lord, everyone in this place, help us all, Lord. If we've exited the blocks of salvation and we're running, I pray, Lord, that we would hear you today. We would hear your word. We would hear the Apostle Paul. We would hear, Lord, and not just with our ears, but we would hear with everything that we are, that we would make a decision today, Lord, all for Christ. Lord, that if the pace is slack, we would pick up the pace today. God, we would continue all the days of our lives to run as you would have us run, O Lord, that we could bring to your name honor and glory, that we would be known as those that are in you. An example, Lord, that we ourselves would become and be and live as examples, even in the ordering of our lives, that others might look to us, we could say, listen, come, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me, follow my example, and we could speak those words, Lord, in fear and trembling, but also with an assurance that if someone would follow us, if someone would follow our church attendance, our prayer life, our giving, Lord, our holiness, our righteousness, the way we govern our days, the way we go about life, our love for you and our love for others, that we could say, follow me, and have the assurance that if somebody would copy our behavior, they would be copying you.